We were in the book of Acts last week. We're discussing maybe Paul's second journey, his mission trip, and mostly in the latter portion of Acts 16. We've got our map up front here, and I don't know if we've got some more of these floating around. Or Brother Jeff, you got one up here. I don't know. I need to probably get some more of these, but these little maps are pretty handy, and kind of shows where Paul went and the cities there that we'll be reading about, and kind of gives us a perspective of where all he's traveled to and sometimes where he's traveled past. You know, there in the second mission, we discovered last week that as Paul went from Iconium over to Troas, he went through Asia and what we'd call Asia Minor there, but as he went through it, God wouldn't let him preach there. And you think, boy, that's a long way for him to go and for him not to preach. And then we might have been shed a little bit of light on how that word would then get back and how God wanted that to be done. So sometimes seeing it on a map helps me try to understand that a little bit better. But we'll kind of recap a little bit. Last week we talked about Paul and Silas and where they were just jailed into the inner prison, as Brother Jeff mentioned. I thought about that during the week. That's something, how that they would put them in there with some of the most troublesome and maybe angry, ill, rank persons is what you could imagine, and they would put them, Paul and Silas, to the inner portion of that prison because they didn't want them to be heard. And how would they hear from them? Well, it said that Paul and Silas would, that they had prayed and sang. Didn't want them out towards outside of the prison to where maybe they could see daylight or that sound could get out to all the people of them praying and singing. But they try to muffle them down and stick them more towards the inner part. And then a great earthquake had came by and the foundation shook and the doors were open and everyone's bonds were loose and the keeper of the prison woke up and seen the doors open and he drew his sword and it said that he would have killed himself, thinking the prisoners had fled, but Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do thyself no harm." And the jailer wanted to know how to be saved in 16 and 30. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And they spake the word of the Lord. And then the jailer then washed their stripes, and then he was baptized. He and all his, and Paul and Silas went to the house of Lydia. And then they had seen the brethren, that they had comforted them, and they departed, it said. So that was them leaving. That was them leaving there in Philippi. So they're going to leave from there starting into the 17th, and they're going to go to a couple of other cities and then into Thessalonica. But before we go there, we may step over and read some in Philippians. So he would have penned this, more than likely, they say, some of the experts say that he would have penned this letter when he was in Rome, possibly. Some say Ephesus, but a lot believe that he would have been in Rome when he wrote this, is my understanding. So we may read some of this and recognize that when he wrote this, he had already been there and established this church, and it actually went back another time. But I think they say that he would have been gone somewhere around 5 years or so before he went back the second time, and then it would have been somewhere around 8 to 10 years that he would have penned this after first setting this up. But we'll read some of this. We'll probably read the majority of the first chapter anyway, but just keep in mind he had been there, what he had been through with this Philippian jailer and how this church had got started. Said, in one, Paul and Philippians, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense in confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. And you can't help for to think that he's talking about all these things that happened to him. They're in Philippi, they're in Thessalonica, but all of those things that happened after that, but he's writing back to them and saying that it's furthered the gospel. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every day, whether it's in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therein rejoice ye, and I will rejoice, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer, and of the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation, and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. We may stop there, but how awesome that church, hopefully they felt when he raised him up and all the things that he had learned since being there, and he wanted to write back to them and explain to them that how they've helped him along the way. And we can read about that in the, going back to the fourth chapter, we may pick up about the sixth verse. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have learned, you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to be abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. Notwithstanding, you have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet ye. All the saints salute you chiefly, that they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So that was just some of the things concerning, and like what we just read there in Acts were some of the things that helped shape that letter, and that's what he was referring back to when he wrote these things to that young church. And we can only imagine how that church was growing during that time. Any thoughts? Any thoughts whatsoever? I know nothing about this before studying it, but it's starting to mean a little bit more. We'll go on into the 7th chapter of Acts, 17th, I'm sorry.
I believe when Paul there, he was really admonishing them for even times that other churches helped him on his journey that this little church did.
Yep.
And not just with means, but I believe just he knew the bond of love there.
Amen.
And when Hilltop, we probably don't do enough, but we try to support some of his ministry. It's more than just the financial assistance to the missionaries.
Amen.
It's just them knowing that we love them enough to try to help them. I think that probably means more so even than even the finances. But the finances is a necessity for the gospel to go out. It's part of it.
Amen.
It takes money, and these missionaries that are willing to go, and we sit here, we're to say to it that they have means to go.
Amen. And
I think, Paul, you can just feel the bond here between them. And they financially helped him, and I think he felt the love in that as much as he did the financial
help. Amen.
There were some at times he kind of rebuked a little bit over because they didn't pay him.
And most
and others had to kind of feel their spot. And so when it comes to preaching about those type of things, boy, that's the toughest. You're talking about tough subjects. You start getting on a Baptist billfold, right then you've got problems. But listen, it's the Word of God.
Amen.
And it takes it all. It takes the prayer. It takes the love. But it also takes the necessities, the funds and stuff. I mean, Brother Rick Jones don't go to Jamaica. The airlines don't say, oh, you're a missionary? Well, we're just going to give you your ticket. And
Lord,
then he gets there and they say, well, we'll let you stay here for nothing because you are a missionary. That don't happen.
That's right.
So, I mean, Paul said you don't go to war buying your own supply.
That's right.
And he said, love will not the ox and tread it out the corn.
And man.
But those who live with a serve the temple should live with the temple. So, we're to help them, brother.
Amen. Amen. Appreciate this. Anything else?
I thought it was cool how Paul had his heart in the right place. Well, I think it looked like his main interest was just that the Lord would bless them for doing what they done.
Amen.
About the fruit, you know, to their account. He done said, I can get by either way. You know, he learned to do without, and he learned to have plenty and all that, but it just looked like it meant a lot to him that the Lord was going to.
Amen.
That proves that he wasn't about Paul.
Amen.
It's hard to outgive God. You can if they helped him, God prospered them. And it's just hard to outgive.
Amen.
I mean, I've heard Brother Bill stand up before when we'd be hurting. Different times than we have in the past, good again. I've heard Brother Bill stand up and say, we need to give until it hurts, you know. And sometimes it hurts. I mean, you're thinking, well, you know, I don't know if I can afford it, you know, but it's hard out to get
it. Amen.
It's hard out to get it.
We was at a benefit one day, one night, and Jimmy Bronner, you know him.
Yeah.
Somebody had said that, give till it hurts. He said, give till it feels good. He said, give till it feels good.
Man.
And he was a giver. You could get out sometimes on Sunday morning and out at your front door and he'd have maters, watermelons, cantaloupes just on your front porch waiting for you. Not you calling and asking, him just bringing it to you.
Amen. Good instruction. Appreciate this.
Yeah.
Anything else? Chapter 17. So we just read that he had departed, and now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica. So you can see that there on our little maps there in that Paul's second journey, if y'all have got one of those. And I don't know if we've got that on this map up here or not, do we, Brother Jeff?
Yeah, it's on there. There's a minute time. There's where you live, Philippi. Mm-hmm. Here's Thessalonica.
Yeah, so I had a couple of stops there in between there.
Right here, the right there, looks like it's, if I remember right, it's like forever each. Is it 100 miles or 50 miles? Anyway, it looks like it's a little lake.
Pretty good little jump there. Yeah. And so they named those two towns, and then it said they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. Now, we'd mentioned there in the 16th chapter where they joined there by the river on the Sabbath day. And we wondered if that wasn't because they didn't have a place to join up, but there wasn't a synagogue of the Jews. But here in the 17th, it specifically points that out. And it said, "And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scripture." I want to take a little bit of time to maybe understand this just a bit. It said, "As Paul's manner was." And he had that manner, didn't he? We may go to a couple of places here where we can see Paul doing these very things. We may go to Acts 9 and 20. "And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God." So we see that place there where he went. In 13 and 5, we read this a few weeks ago. 13 and 5, "And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their ministry." In 13 and 14, "But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and sat down." And then 14 and 1, "And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that at a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks believed." So to say that is Paul's manner would be an accurate statement, wouldn't it? Um, 16 and 13, you could see it there as well. "And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside," and that's where we had read last week. We couldn't find the synagogue there, but he's gathering. He's trying to find somebody to preach to and to talk to and to reason with. And if there was a synagogue there, I believe he'd have went. But there must not have been one there close by, but they went down by the river where they were gathered on that Sabbath day, it says. Any thoughts on any of that? I think in 19 and 8, we ain't got there yet, but we can advance up there and see that as well. "And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God." So at the last portion of that Acts 17 and 2, it says, "And three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures." So we believe that to be 3 weeks. That's how I'm reading into it. So that would have been 3 weeks, but he reasoned with them out of the Scripture. Now, the New Testament wasn't wrote at this time. This would have been more than likely not penned down, for sure. And if it was, some of it even started, it wouldn't have been handed out at that point. So what was he reasoning with them with? What Scriptures was he using? We believe that to be what we'd refer to as the Old Testament. And he would have used prophecy to explain that who Jesus was. That's what his goal was. We've talked about that a little bit. He's always teaching them of Jesus is the Christ. So the synagogues are there. The Jewish people are there. They believe in the law. They believe in the Old Testament. But a lot of these people do not believe in Jesus. A lot of them haven't been showed why to believe in Jesus. But what does Paul do? He reasons with them. He's not ugly in the fact. I believe he is bold and he's confident in what he's saying. And he's going to use some of the old scripture, some of the Old Testament, and bring this to their remembrance. And as these things are shown to them, that's how he gets believers in knowing that it was that Jesus is the Christ. So we may just talk about some of these, and you all feel free to add some in. But if you're just saying that the Old Testament and to teach of Jesus, he may even use the lineage just to say, hey, you all believe in the lineage, and it talks about the Messiah to come. Well, what better way to show that he was the Messiah was to show his bloodline, wasn't it? And he would. So if you went through, it was talked about of Jacob's offspring is how that would come. And that would Genesis 28 and 14. And then later on, that would be confirmed in Luke in 3 and 34. So he wouldn't been able to show them Luke's writings there, but he would have explained these things. But that's the reason why the New Testament is so full of showing the prophecy of the Old Testament. So put yourself in that time frame. They're not looking at a book called Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the book of Acts. They don't have any of that. But this is Paul teaching them the New Testament in real time. He'd refer to the Old Testament. You've heard it said or you've read it. It was prophecy of this. And then he would explain that to them. And then hopefully that light bulb would go off like, yeah, he's right. I remember that. And this man is of that lineage. There was one, it talks about the scepter will come through Judah in Genesis 49 and 10. Let me go over there and read that real quick. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. So then if you go to Luke 3 and 33, we can find that. And it talks about which was the son of Amminadab, and which was the son of Aram, which was the son of Esrom, which was the son of Pharis, which was the son of Judah. So when you read that in Genesis, are you thinking Judah the tribe? Are you thinking Judah the location? But here it specifically says there's a son of Judah in this lineage of Jesus. So it talked about that scepter, not that it will come through Judah. That's what it says. And there it is in Luke 33. So that would have been the reason why Luke would have taken the time to have wrote all of this down, is so that it confirms this prophecy. But again, at that time, Paul wouldn't have had that to refer to, would he? David will have offspring with eternal kingdom. In 2 Samuel 7, 12, and 13 is where that's mentioned. Yeah, y'all can save all the page turning. Feel free to go there if you want. But 2 Samuel 7, 12, and 13. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. So I believe that Paul would have used some of these scriptures. Don't know that he exactly went to these things, but this is just some prophecy that would have been there to have referred to. And that we now know, reading the New Testament, it specifically shows these things. So to confirm that, you go to Matthew 1 and 1. And what's it say there? The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David. There's a reason why they are putting this in writing for us today to read these things, to know without a doubt this prophecy has been fulfilled. And that's what Paul would have tried to use to explain to these people. Here's your guy. You keep looking for him. And the whole Old Testament confirms this has to be him. I don't know how many Old Testament prophecies there would have been. I don't know. Barry, you got any idea where to start with that?
Just like you're on the right track, I think. I mean, he would have been dipping back in the Old Testament. He's standing before the rulers. It ain't just, the synagogue was made up by the elders.
Amen.
And, you know, these were chief lawyers, you know, that he's standing up to. So he would have been dipping back in the Old Testament, pulling this piece of a one born of a Virgin Mary.
Amen.
There he was. Hey, y'all crucified him. No bones broke.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Here's another piece. He would have been pulling pieces out of the Old Testament, drawing a picture to try to show them. But just like trying to argue with a lawyer today, that lawyer, when he's shown he's wrong, is he going to admit he's wrong?
Amen. That's right.
I guess. But no, how many prophecies? There's no. I have no clue myself.
The whole Old Testament.
Yeah, but he would just take pieces out of the Old Testament, just putting them picture together, say, here's a piece right here. Isaiah 53, you know, Isaiah 52, his vestige was marred above any other man, y'all. You know, all that just fit together to show Jesus right here.
Amen.
He is. And then what are they going to do with it?
Yes.
I mean, today it's a similar thing today when we talk to somebody of a different faith that's really devout and grounded in it. It's really hard to show them the difference, you know. And but boy, Paul had to be prepared.
Amen.
He had to be prepared.
Amen.
I love what he says. This right here confirms what you're saying when he talked to King Agrippa in the 27th chapter.
Amen.
He said, but he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth thee. Before whom I also speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things were hidden from him. These things were not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know thou believest. And that's what he was using.
Amen.
He was using the prophets, and he was telling them. He said, King, you believe? This wasn't done in a corner. The whole Old Testament
told
you about Jesus. And he said, that's who I'm telling you about. He said, do you believe me? And he said, I know you believe. And then that's when Agrippa went and he said, well, you've almost persuaded
me. Amen.
And so he was using just what you're talking about to convince a man that he knew what he was talking about.
Yeah.
And he said, this ain't been hidden for me.
Amen.
The whole Old Testament is told you about this man to come.
Appreciate this. And now let's relate that to today. How many people will still walk up to you today, and young preachers, be prepared to give some of these accounts? Because they're going to say, why do you believe in a man called Jesus Christ? Well, we've got history here, and the facts are even doubled for us today than what Paul had back then. We've got all the New Testament that already shows us that. We can go to these scriptures in the Old Testament, and we can show in the New Testament where, and they'll show that, well, per the prophecy, or the prophecy says this. They actually put that in the New Testament in some of these. But we need to be able to give this account when somebody says, why do you believe that Jesus Christ is a prophet, or why he's the Messiah? Why do you believe that? This is why. This is why we believe these things. There was a study done, and let's just say there was easily 300 and something prophecies, but there was a study done that shows that had only eight of these been done, prophecies made and fulfilled in the way that it was for the region that he was in, for him to be at, again, just pick out eight of these. And it would, there is such an infinite number. It's 17 to the 10th power that if only eight of these would have come into existence, and would have come true, that it's that large of a number of being able to say that would have happened. Probabilities. Thank you, sir. 17 to the 10th power. I don't know that I could sit here and write down that many zeros. Only if eight of them had came true, but there's hundreds, possibly thousands of these things. There's just no way this is by circumstance. Let's read a couple more of these just to kind of scotch us up a little bit. Hosea 11:1. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. Now, I think there's one account there in Matthew 2:14-15. And when he rose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. They said that was spoken of by the prophet. That was the prophet. We just read him, Hosea. That's what they're referring to. That's the very reason why Matthew wrote that down there that way. He's showing the fulfillment thereof. Christ to be born in Bethlehem. That's in Micah 5:2. If you want to go over there and read that. And then Matthew 2:4-6. And we'll just read Matthew's account. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. We have these tools at our disposal. We need to do a better job to understand it. And I say we, me. I'm so glad to try to understand some of this now, but I've wasted so many years not knowing stuff like this. When somebody would ask the question, well, how do you know? And it ought to be in the front of our mind, on the tip of our tongue, to be able to give an account of these things. Jesus would teach in parables, Psalms 78:1-2. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. We all know that Jesus spoke in parables, didn't we? But I didn't know it was a prophecy. But he done all of that to fulfill. And we talked about the law a couple of weeks ago. And I guess I've just had this thought, but when he fulfilled the law, does that mean that he has to abolish it? Does that mean that it's gone out? Or can it be just like a pitcher sitting on a table when it's just sitting there full and brim to the top? Can it not just still stay there? Do we have to abolish it just because it's full? I say not. I say that it can be fulfilled. And we could sit back and look at these things and know that they still exist. Any thoughts? A couple more things there. Jesus would have a miraculous ministry. Isaiah 35:4-6. And Matthew confirms that in 11:2-6. Let's just go ahead and read that in Isaiah 35. Say to them that are of fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. So Isaiah is saying what things is going to happen there. If we go to Matthew 11:2-6. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. So it said that those things would happen, and that's what he did, wasn't it? And, of course, we know about, said the in Isaiah 40 and 3 and 4, that there would be a forerunner, and John fulfilled that, didn't he? So we know we can refer back to these things. And if you just take these handful of items here that we've just discussed, for all of that to be prophecy and then for that to be fulfilled, if that wasn't him, I don't know how we'd ever get another. Any thoughts on any of that?
Don't you think that a lot of it was the same problem we have today is pride?
Amen.
As he would point all these things out and start drawing the pictures, some of them just had to see it. Everything like you pointed out, and then it was prophecy that he would come right in on a donkey.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here, that they probably didn't like to accept that. I mean, they wanted that white stallion king.
Amen.
To come riding in with a host of army that, you know, is going to. But he didn't come in on a big old white stallion. He come in on a donkey. But it was prophecy out of Zechariah.
Amen.
He would come in on a donkey.
Amen.
You know, all that stuff went together, and at least some did lay their pride down and believe. But how many of them just could not admit that they were wrong? Yeah. And that's our trouble today.
Amen.
I mean, it's just can't admit that we could be wrong.
Amen. Yeah, I think heard somebody here say it might have been Brother Jeff was to have had all of that to have happened, and to see him coming like that, and just the probabilities that Josh had talked about for that to happen and all of these things. You couldn't have wrote out a script and said this is how we're going to do this, and you couldn't have wrote this out and things to have happened that way for Joseph to have taken him down to Egypt after he was born, and then back up to Nazareth, and then to be born there in Bethlehem. You couldn't have scripted this and had these things line up any better. But God did. We can't, but God did. And they would have fought against that tooth and nail. If they had any control over him not being the Messiah, they would have tried to stuff these things out. But they were so blinded, like certain people are today, of the facts that they don't want to see it, so they're not seeing it. It's not being revealed to them because they don't want to see it.
One of the best ones you'll ever read, in my opinion, as far as I'm concerned, it comes from a preacher, it comes from a deacon. But Stephen, I mean, he started back at Moses.
Amen.
And he laid just one after another, he laid it out there, you know, saying, this is Christ who you crucified. And when he got done, they would prick to the heart, not in the heart, but to the heart, and that's when they stoned him. But man, this, you read through there, and it's just the 7th chapter, I believe it is. I mean, it's just one after another. He just constantly.
Amen.
In the Old Testament, saying, right here he is. Right here he is. Ain't it? You know, he wasn't talking about David. He was talking about love. And it just.
Amen.
I mean, so it was all. It's all there.
I think you're right about the pride part, because he's the very one. I think he told them that they were stiff-necked.
Yeah.
I think about that today. You know, we've all asked that question, how come our kids is not getting saved?
Yeah.
They come all the time, and then somebody comes here that they never met. Mm. Maybe we're just a little too religious. Maybe we're teaching our children that, you know. I know we're supposed to come to church, and we're supposed to preach to them and everything, but these Gentiles was getting saved, I reckon, by the...
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know all that stuff. They just believed it when they heard it, you know.
Amen.
A lot of people that had been trained wrong, you know, all them priests and stuff thought all that extra stuff in there, you know, and they got so far off, and they were self-righteous and fair, you know, and all that. Man, it's hard to turn loose of that.
Yeah.
They've been taught all this stuff, you know, and they couldn't see it right there in front of them.
Lord help.
That's what Jesus said, search the scriptures, for in them, you know, they testify of me.
Amen.
And right there he was talking to them. And they still didn't know.
Amen. Anything else? Appreciate this, Brother Mark. We may be at a good time to stop, let Brother Jeff get his rounds out there in the parking lot, meet and greet everybody. But sure do appreciate everybody's input this morning. That really helps out. Thank you. Appreciate you coming.